Trust that God has been speaking and ministering to your heart this morning through the singing, through the worship. I want to say, first off, thanks so much for those of you who prayed for me. I am feeling much better, and I am so thankful for God's healing grace in my life. This morning, we're finally getting to a three-week series on prayer. And to begin with, I'd like for you to take out your handout and turn to the back. And we're going to begin with this quote. Philip Yancey wrote a book titled Prayer, Does It Make a Difference? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like my prayer life is very inadequate. And I wish I was more disciplined and more passionate, more meaningful connection with God through prayer. And so see if you can identify with what Philip Yancey discovered as he did some research before writing this book. He says, I interviewed ordinary people about prayer. Typically, the results went like this. Is prayer important to you? Oh, yes. How often do you pray? Every day. Approximately how long? 5 minutes. Well, maybe seven. Do you find prayer satisfying? Not really. Do you sense the presence of God when you pray? Occasionally, not often. Many of those I talk to experience prayer more as a burden than as a pleasure. They regarded it as an important, even paramount, and felt guilty about their failure, blaming themselves. So if you can identify with that, I want you to know that you're not alone. I stand before you as your pastor, not as an expert on prayer, not as someone who has it all figured out, but as someone who desires to grow in my prayer life. And so this past month of June, for my morning quiet time, my time with the Lord, I pulled out my Strong's Concordance. Now, how many of you know what a concordance is? Okay, for those of you who don't, you can choose any word that is in the scripture. You can look up that word, and it'll give you every single reference where that shows up in the Bible. And so what I did is I looked up the word prayer, praying, prayed, pray. And every time that word showed up in the New Testament, I looked at during the month of June in my time with the Lord. And I want to share with you this morning what I learned. So settle in. We're going to be here at about 8 o'clock. No, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you three broad themes that became evident to me as relates to prayer. And these themes were helpful for me to begin to process my prayer life in light of these themes or observations. And so I began my study, and this morning, for the sake of time, we're going to primarily focus on the life of Jesus. We're going to primarily look at the prayers of Jesus, when he prayed, where he prayed, how he prayed, what he prayed, and look to glean some of those observations. So to do that, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 32 this morning. We're going to move throughout the Gospels, so I would encourage you to follow along. I'd also encourage you to just put your handout off to the side. If you're one of the individuals that likes to fill in the blanks, don't worry about the blanks. When we get to the end, I'll try to bring the summarization together, and we'll fill in the blanks, try to wrap up with some application. But this morning, my hope and prayer is that we go into the fall as we begin another season of ministry, another new beginning for many of us with school and the transition of fall. My hope is that we will grow in our prayer life and that God will be able to use this time to that end. Follow along as we read Mark chapter 1, verse 32. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now try to picture this passage. It says, the evening after sunset. In other words, it's dark out. They don't have street lights. And the people realized that Jesus was in town, and says the whole town crowded around the house. We're outside the door. And all the people who were sick and diseased and crippled. And I'm sure there was individuals in there who had shingles and who were just wanting to be relieved of their pain. But if you can just picture the chaos of pushing and shoving. And then you throw in the dynamic that there was individuals who were dealing with evil spirits. And if you've been involved in any of those kind of situations and scenarios, you can probably imagine some hissing and some convulsing and just chaos. Crowds of people all gathering around, trying to get close to Jesus so that they can be healed, so that they can be relieved of their evil spirits. Look with me now at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So you picture this, Jesus was up very late. Well into the night, healing many. Doesn't say that he healed them all, healing many. Some went home not healed. And so Jesus gets up very early in the morning while it is still dark. Doesn't say whether it's at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. But clearly, he did not get much sleep. He gets up early and he goes off to a solitary place, to a place where he could be alone. He doesn't go off just to get away from people, doesn't go away to fish, to hike. He goes away to a solitary place to pray, to talk to his heavenly Father. It says that Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Like, come on, Jesus, get with the program. Don't be praying. There's important things to do. There's people who need you. There's people who needs to be healed. And what was Jesus' response? He replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Apparently, Jesus was getting alone in the morning so that he could gain wisdom, so that he could gain strength, so that he could gain insight through his relationship, through his connection with his Heavenly Father. As I looked at this passage and I thought about prayer, so often for prayer, for me, is, okay, this is what I have to do. This is the discipline. I need to go through my prayer list. I need to take my time this morning to pray. And I sensed that it was different for Jesus. I sensed that Jesus was praying out of necessity. That Jesus was praying out of desperation. That Jesus was praying out of dependence upon his Heavenly Father. I also sensed that Jesus longed for, looked forward to that connection, that relationship, that time with his Heavenly Father. Let's look at another example of Jesus praying in the Gospels. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke chapter 5, you're going to begin to see a theme here. It says, "Yet the news about him," referring to Jesus, "spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Can you see, can you visualize, can you picture the crowds of people? And Luke says, but Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places, to the solitary places, to get alone with his Heavenly Father. In other words, that a situation that we saw in Mark chapter 1, that wasn't an isolated situation. That was becoming the norm. The disciples were used to the fact that, okay, Jesus is going off. He's going off to a solitary place. He's going off to be alone with His Heavenly Father. What about you? When was the last time you went and got alone with your Heavenly Father? What is the solitary place that you go to? Not because you have to, but because you want to abide and remain and walk and commune and listen and read and connect with your Heavenly Father. You see, to Jesus, prayer wasn't an obligation. It wasn't a ritual. It wasn't something that He did to earn favor with God. It wasn't something that He did to keep the Jewish law. It flowed out of His relationship with His Heavenly Father. It was out of His dependence upon God that He got alone. I hope all of you have that place. Turn to the next chapter, Luke chapter 6, 12 through 16. Continue to develop this theme of the prayer life of Jesus. It says, one of these days, Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray. I can relate. For me, if I want to connect with God, I want to get alone with God, I need to be outside. I shouldn't say I need to be, but it's helpful for me to be outside. It's even more helpful for me if I can be out on a mountainside. And so here is Jesus getting away, going up on the mountainside, getting away from the crowds to pray. And then it says this, He spent the night praying to God. Spent the night talking to, dialoguing with, conversing with His Heavenly Father. Again, it wasn't because Jesus was trying to be spiritual. You don't sense that it was out of obligation or any kind of ritual. But it's because He wanted to be with His Heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus had the choice. Get some rest or be with my Heavenly Father. And Jesus chose, spend the night with my Heavenly Father. There was a deep, abiding oneness between the Father and the Son. And then it says, look at this. Verse 13, when morning came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them, whom He also designated as apostles. If there was ever a critical decision in the life of Jesus, it was this decision. Who were going to be the 12 that He was going to choose to be the disciples, to be the apostles? Who were going to be the 12 that He was going to invest in, to be with Him 24/7 for His 3 years of ministry? And more importantly, who were going to be the 12 that He would choose to use to advance His kingdom, to build His church upon? This was a critical decision in the life of Jesus. And before He made those choices, He spent the night with His Heavenly Father. But I don't think He spent the night just simply to say, okay, God, who should we choose? Who do You want me to choose to be my disciples? I mean, God the Father could have communicated that to Him in a minute or two. I mean, maybe they spent the night debating whether Judas should be part of the 12. But the point is this. Jesus spent the whole night praying. Why? Because He wanted to be with the Father. Because of His prayer life was evidence of the relationship. Let's look at one more example in the prayer life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, 36 through 46. Look at the end. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. How many times do you think the disciples heard that? Sit over here while I go over there and pray. You get to begin to see that this was a pattern in the life of Jesus. But this time He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, lest I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Here we see that Jesus is praying out of desperation. In the midst of his sorrow, he cries out to God, begging his heavenly Father to come up with an alternative plan. Rather than going forward with the crucifixion, rather than taking on all of the sins of humanity, Christ is crying out, "Isn't there another option?" Again, we see that Jesus is praying out of necessity. He's praying out of his desperation, out of a great dependence upon his heavenly Father. And so as I went through the Gospels, as I looked at the prayer life, I realized for Jesus, prayer was not a ritual, not an obligation, not was something that he needed to sort of suck it up and do more of, but it was an overflow, it was an extension of his relationship with the Father. And Jesus, in his humanity, was in tune to his weakness, was in tune to his frailties, was in tune to his need to tap into God the Father's wisdom, strength, power. And so there was these themes that I was beginning to see about prayer. That prayer is all about a relationship. Prayer is all about dependence upon God. And then I went back and I looked at Jesus when he taught on prayer. What did he tell the disciples as he was teaching them about prayer? He said, "Don't be like the pagans who pray in public places for everybody to see." It's not a public display. He says, but find the secret place. Find that place alone. Find that quiet place. And then he says, it's not about babbling. It's not about how much you pray. It's not about how you pray. It's not about your words. In fact, he said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask. And then he says, this is how you should pray. It's what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's what Pastor Jan referenced earlier this morning to guide his prayer. And how does Jesus tell the disciples to pray? Our what? Our Father. Our Father. What does that word Father speak to? It speaks to relationship. It speaks to the fact that God desires to have a relationship with us. He desires for us to be his children, his sons and daughters. It speaks to the fact that God wants to have that oneness, that intimacy. The word Father also speaks to the fact that we can have that relationship, that we can have that connection with God. Our Father in heaven was a word that Jesus told the disciples to use as they addressed God to emphasize the relational component that we can have with God through Christ. And then what did he say to pray? Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, ask God to help you to forgive. There's going to be some people in your life that you're not going to be able to forgive, that you're not going to be able to love without God's help. Depend upon God for forgiveness. Then he said to pray for your daily needs, for your daily bread. Daily. Depend upon God. Every single day, ask God to meet your needs, to provide your food. Depend upon God for food for your needs. And then he ends by saying, and pray that God would lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from the evil one. What does that communicate? Again, it communicates dependence. Depend upon God for spiritual victory in your life. Depend upon God to have victory over your temptations. Depend upon God to have victory over the evil one. You need to depend upon God. God intends for you to have a relationship with Him, and He desires for you to depend upon Him. Also, he says in the Lord's Prayer, in verse 9 and 10, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Jesus tells the disciples to pray that God's kingdom would be advanced through prayer. As I look throughout the New Testament, particularly as I zeroed in on the life of Paul, I saw somebody who was passionate about living for God's kingdom. Paul's prayers were not about his safety, was not about get me out of prison, about make me more comfortable. His prayer was always about advancing the gospel. And I began to see this thread that prayer is about advancing God's kingdom. And so if you're taking notes, let me give you the three broad observations that we see, particularly in the life of Jesus and throughout the New Testament as we look at prayer. Number one, prayer is all about dependence upon God. Number two, prayer is all about a relationship. And prayer is all about advancing God's kingdom. Some of you might have been bothered by the title of the message. The goal was not to pray more. I've heard some dialogue about the sermon title, so I was like, good, it worked. I got you thinking and talking about prayer. But as I was doing this study on prayer, I began to realize that the goal and the focus was not to pray more, but that prayer was really an outflow of multiple things. That prayer was really an outflow of my relationship with God, was an indication to how my relationship with God was going. The prayer was really the outflow of someone who was in tune to their weaknesses and their need for God. That prayer was something that flowed from someone who was passionate about living to see that God's kingdom would be advanced. That prayer was not the goal, but prayer was the byproduct. Prayer was the outcome. And then I began to evaluate my life. I began to look at, oh man, what does it say that my prayer life is shallow, that my prayer life is weak? Let me give you three of the observations and see if you can relate to, or hopefully be challenged and convicted by them as well. If you're following along in your notes, number one, our lack of prayer is not the problem, but the symptom. The problem is that we trust in ourselves, our money, and others rather than God. And so as I ask myself, Jeff, why don't you pray more? What is at the root of why I don't pray more? As I go through a day, as I look back over a week, I have to conclude that my lack of prayer is an indication that I am trusting in myself. One of the realities of living in the prosperity of this country is that when we need food, when we need something, what do? Most of us have the means to go get it. We don't have to depend upon God. Some of you this morning might find yourself in a situation where you are totally dependent upon God. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 5. It says, the widow who is really in need and left all alone. In other words, this is the widow who doesn't have children to care for her, doesn't have family to care for her. This is a widow who finds herself in a situation where she has nobody to provide the basic needs of her life. And what does that person do? She puts her hope in God. What are you hoping in this morning? What are you trusting in this morning? There'll be a connection between what you're hoping in and trusting in and your prayer life. Because this widow will what? She will night and day pray, asking God for help. Some of you might find yourself in a situation. You might not be a widow, but you're in a situation that is way too big for you. And I want to encourage you this morning by saying, you know what? It's not fun, it's not easy, but God has you right where He wants you. Because He's going to teach you and show you things in that place as you depend upon Him. And you will experience the reality of a living God coming through for you. Maybe not in ways that you anticipated or hoped for, but He will prove Himself faithful as you depend upon Him. Two, our lack of prayer is a symptom of a bigger problem, that we're not in love with God or prioritize our relationship with Christ. As I began to evaluate my prayer life in light of the fact that prayer is all about a relationship, I began to see, wow. The solution is me not just to say, okay, I need to pray more. The solution is for me to begin to understand what I love, what I'm more passionate about than God. What are the things that are getting in the way of my relationship with God? God wants to draw me into a deeper, more personal walk with Him. It's what He created me for. And the lack of prayer life is an indication that there's other things that are more important to me than God. Again, I want to emphasize that prayer is not ultimately the goal. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to what? Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Someone who loves God with all their heart, soul, and mind is going to be passionately and intimately abiding and remaining in Christ. Three, our lack of prayer is not the problem, but a symptom that we're not consumed with God and advancing His kingdom. Too often, we're about advancing our own kingdoms. We're about advancing our dreams, our plans. Oh yeah, we tackle on Jesus and we bring in church and God. But that's not what God intended. God intends all of us to live wholeheartedly for Him and for His kingdom and to advance His kingdom. And when that is in our hearts, when that is driving us, prayer is going to be a natural outflow. Let me summarize it like this. The reason we don't pray more is because we are too self-sufficient. We're too worldly. We're too connected to the things of this world, and we neglect our relationship with God. They're the barriers that get in the way of our relationship with God. That's reflected many times through our prayer life. So what is the solution? I'm not going to give you a book this morning and tell you, hey, read this book on prayer. I'm not going to say, go find an accountability partner. How do we deal with those root issues that are the barriers to our prayer life? The solution is found in one word, repentance. My call, my challenge to you this morning is to repent of the things that God has been speaking to your heart about this morning. Maybe He was speaking to your heart as you were singing or listening to the songs. Maybe you can relate to being self-sufficient. Maybe you can relate to having things in your life that you love more than God that are getting in the way of your relationship and your prayer life with God. Maybe you're not passionately consumed with God and His kingdom. God desires to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. He desires to speak and to minister to us in our solitary places or as we go throughout our day. But we need to be in tune to our hearts. We need to be in tune to what is getting in the way of our relationship with God. And we need to not just confess, but we need to repent. We need to change. My hope, my prayer is this morning is that you would respond to what God is prompting your heart. That you would not just say, oh yeah, I need to be more dependent upon God. Yes, I need to love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind. But that you would be in tune to what God is asking you to do this morning. It was interesting because as I worked through this study on prayer in June, then I sat down in the beginning of August to work on this message, and I pulled out my journal, and I saw some of my prayers of confession. What was really bothersome to me in August was to realize that nothing had changed. Confession wasn't what God was looking for. Confession was the first step. What God wanted was repentance. There were specific things that God was pointing His finger at. There were specific things that were in my life that were more important to me than my walk with God. And He didn't want me just to acknowledge that. He wanted for me to make some changes. And I'm thankful that this past week has been some of the most meaningful, intimate times with God. It's because we need to be in tune to the things in our hearts that are getting in the way of our relationship with God. Let's pray. What is it that you need to confess and repent of this morning? Is your lack of prayer life an indication of your self-sufficiency? Is your lack of prayer life an indication of the kind of relationship or the lack thereof you have with God? Do you need to repent of living for your kingdom rather than advancing God's kingdom? If God is speaking to your heart this morning, I would ask that you would share with one other person. If you're married, hopefully it would be your spouse before the day is out, what you're wrestling with in your heart this morning. Even if you're not sure exactly what God's asking, and even if you're not sure you're ready to do it, share with your spouse the internal struggle that's going on. If God is calling you to make a change, to live differently, share with that person what it is. God desires to walk intimately with us, but we need to remove those barriers that get in the way. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can have a relationship with you despite our shortcomings through Jesus Christ. I thank you that we don't have to earn your approval through reading your word or praying. I pray that it would be the outcome and the overflow of our walk with you. I pray that you would be our best friend, that we would have intimate walks with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.